For those of you who don't know me, my name is Aunt Peggy. My friends know me as that, and I go all over Florida telling stories and folklore all over Florida. Now, today is a very special day. In fact, this whole weekend is. We're celebrating, we're remembering Cousin Thelma Bolton. And that Cousin Thelma was the director of this whole festival for many, many years. And she died last year. And she was everybody's cousin. In fact, the dress I'm wearing was Cousin Thelma's. And I feel very lucky that I have it to wear. Because I loved her dearly. She is very special. And she told stories you wouldn't believe what good storyteller she was. But we're carrying on the tradition here at the Folk Festival. And our storytelling festival is growing right over here in Florida. And now it is just about 12 o'clock, and we have another couple of story times. Imagine that. This is their first time over here, by the way, so let's see.
So you're supposed to laugh a lot.
So we're the ones who are supposed to get nervous.
Right.
This is our first time here.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Lee Smith.
And my name is Judith Leopold, and we're from DeSoto County.
And together we are
Imagine That.
Now, today we thought we'd start out with one of those traditional tales. You've heard of Old Jack?
You know, the one that sold his mama's milk cow for a handful of beans.
Yeah.
But that's not the story we're going to tell today. We're going to tell a different time.
We're going to tell about the time that old Jack went out and he got himself
a job.
Yes, sir. He went to work. He went to work for the farmer who lived right down the road.
And boy, farmer said, Jack, I got a heap of work for you to do. First thing I want you to do is I want you to go out there and clear the land. And so Jack did. He got some ropes and some saws and stuff. And he started clearing the trees all over the place, you know. And at the end of the day, the farmer sure appreciated Jack's hard work because he paid Jack with
a $5 bill.
Boy, howdy!
Jack clutched that $5 bill in his hand. He took off for home just fast and hard as he could go. Gonna tell his mama all about it.
But on his way home, he had to cross this little creek. And as he was going over the bridge, he just stopped on the top and he could see his big smile reflecting in the water and saw that $5 bill, you know, just kind of reflecting down there, you know?
And along came the wind, knocked that $5 bill right out of his hands. It floated down to the water and away it went. And that was the end of this $5 bill. Old Jack started crying, headed for home. The tears running down his face. He comes in the house. He tells his mama the whole sad tale, all about working and getting the money and the wind and the water. And his mama listened to that. And then she looked at Jack and she said, Jack, you don't have the sense you were born with. Don't you know, if somebody gives you a $5 bill, you take that money and you fold it up nice and small and you put it deep down in your pocket. And then you hurry home and you give it to me.
All I have to do is put it down deep in my pocket.
Deep, deep.
I can do that, bring it home.
Oh, I hope so. And the next day, Jack went back to work for that farmer.
Farmer said, Jack, you done a fine job yesterday. How about doing some fencing today? And so Jack had got some wire and some shovels and some poles, and he must have put up a mile fence. And at the end of the day, the farmer paid Jack with
a great big tall jug filled with fresh cow's milk.
But that was all right, because you see, Jack knew what to do. He listened to his mom. He took that big jug, the cow's milk, and he opened up his pocket, started pouring it down deep so he could bring it home to his mama.
And that milk started running down his legs. It ran down into his socks, filled up his socks, filled up his shoes. By the time he got home, there was milk swishing everywhere. When he walked in, his mama opened him. His mama heard that tale. Oh, she looked at Jack and she said,
Jack, you don't have the sense you were born with.
Don't you know, if someone gives you a jug of milk, you take it and you balance it very carefully on your head. and then you walk slowly home. Can you remember that?
Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
I hope so. Oh. And next day, Jack went back to work for that farmer.
It was a sunshiny day. Boy, the sun was really shining. And the farmer said, Jack, why don't you make hay? Make hay while the sun shines. And so Jack did. He made enough hay to fill up a whole barn full. And at the end of the day, the farmer paid Jack with
a great big round
pat of homemade butter.
But that was all right, because Jack knew what to do. He took that round pat of butter, you know, and he put it square on his head, just like his mama told him, and headed for home in the hot, hot sun.
And, of course, that butter began to melt. And the first thing you know, there was butter dripping down his neck, ran inside of his shirt, ran all the way down his pant legs. By the time he got home, he was butter from the top of his head down to his feet. He walked in. His mother looked at him. Oh! And she said, Jack, you don't have the sense you were born with. Don't you know? If someone gives you butter, you take it down to the creek where the water is cold, and you dunk it in that cold water 3 or 4 times and get it very firm, very firm, and then you carry it quickly home. Can you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, dear. Well, the next day, Jack went back to work for that farmer.
And that farmer said, Jack, you sure are a smart fellow, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
You know how to plow? Tad. Well, go hitch up them horses and do some plowing. We're going to get in the field to grow in the garden pretty soon. So Jack did. Hitched the horses and kind of plowed up the field and then kind of plowed down the field and kind of plowed around the field a little while. And at the end of the day, the farmer paid Jack with
a little kitten. He gave Jack a little fuzzy kitten.
For me?
Yes.
Well, that was all right because Jack knew what to do. You know, he remembered what his mama told him, to take a kitten and dunk it in a stream once or twice, it might make it nice and firm, you know? Well, he brought that kitten down to that Crick's Creek. But you know, that kitten just took one look at that water and he wasn't going to go. No
right.
way.
He just scratched and clawed and took off. And that was the last Jack saw of that little kitten.
The farmer showed him. And he must have planted that whole field full of beans. Because at the end of the day, the farmer really appreciated all the work that he'd done. And he paid Jack with
a great big country cured ham.
But that was all right because Jack knew what to do. He hunted around for a little piece of string. And when he got it, he tied it around that little ham's neck and put it down on the ground real careful like. And started leading it home all the way saying, here, kitty, 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 kitty! Here, kitty, 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 kitty!
You can just imagine every cat in the county came running out and they all got a bite out of that ham. And by the time Jack got home, all he had left was a piece of dirty string tied around a ham bone. And he came in.
It was them.
His mother looked at that.
That kitty was them. Those kitties ate it, not me.
She listened to Jack.
It was them.
And she said, Jack, you don't have the sense you were born with. Don't you know? If somebody gives you a ham, you take it and you balance it on your shoulder. Carefully on your shoulder. And then you walk home with it. Now, can you remember that?
Sure, it'd be nice if I could have a little support for all this hard work I'm doing.
If you would just listen. And Jack went on back to work the next day with that farmer.
And the farmer said, you know, Jack, you got a future in planting beans. Oh, boy, you can plant them all right. Jack liked that idea and thought maybe someday he might do that again. But that's another story. Anyway, he said, you know, those bean plants have grown done knee-high. And I bet it could have been that rain while it was raining last night. It was raining outside the house and raining inside the house. Go get some ladders and shingles and go fix that hole in the roof. So Jack did. And at the end of the day, the farmer paid Jack with
a donkey. That farmer paid Jack a donkey.
Well, now Jack had the sense he was born with. He knew he wasn't going to get a whole donkey on his shoulder. He tried. It wouldn't fit. The best he could do was to come up with the front half of the donkey on his shoulder, and he had the rest of the donkey behind, started heading for home.
Now you have to know that on that road that Jack went on to and from work every day, there was a rich man. And that rich man had one daughter. One daughter whom he dearly loved. But you know that was the saddest child you ever saw? But from the day she was born, she had never smiled, she had never grinned, she had never laughed, and that rich man had tried everything. I mean, he consulted every doctor he knew, and nothing had ever made that child happy. And finally, he said, you know, if there is anyone in this world who can make my daughter happy, get her to grin, make her laugh, I will give them half of everything I own. Well, this particular woman, when Jack's come up that road with the front of the donkey on his shoulder and the rest of it behind, the rich man's daughter was sitting out on the front porch with her friend in the swing, just swinging back and forth, when here comes old Jack.
And at first, you know, she had kind of rubbed her eyes to see if she was seeing what she was seeing, but she did, and she saw it what saw, and she kind of judged her friend, and there she saw Jack over there, and she said, look over there.
Will you look at that?
Here comes Jack. He ran right out the road, he stopped Jack, and he said, I am going to give you half of everything I own.
And you know, that's really a good thing. You know why,
yes,
fellas? That's good because everybody knows that Jack doesn't have the sense he was born with. Imagine that. Story about a man named Albert, his wife Sarah, their little girl Jane,
baby Wilbur,
and the wonderful shrinking shirt by Leon Castile Anderson. One day, Albert said, you know, I sure could use a new shirt to wear to church.
And his wife Sarah looked at him and she said, why, Albert, you surely could.
And Janie, their daughter, said, you surely could, Pa.
And baby Wilbur didn't say anything because he was too little.
And so the next day, Albert went down to the general store. And that's when he saw that yellow flannel shirt with purple stripes. Boy, howdy, ooh, that's the shirt from me. And so Albert bought that shirt, and the next day he wore it to church, and the deacon said,
my Albert, that is a fine shirt.
And Albert liked it so much he wore it to the fireman's ball on Friday night, and all the ladies there said,
oh, my Albert, that's a fine shirt.
And so on Saturday morning, Albert wore it to the park, and he sat with all his friends on the park bench, and all of his men friends said,
my Albert, that is a fine shirt.
But on Saturday afternoon, his wife Sarah called out, and this is what she said.
Albert, that shirt needs a washing.
So she soused it and doused it and rinsed it clean and hung it in the sun to dry. And on Sunday, Albert put on that yellow flannel shirt with purple stripes to wear to church. And he called out, Sarah, whatever did you do to my shirt? The shirt sleeves are coming up to my elbows and the shirt tails are coming up to my waist and the child is just a-coking me.
Oh, land of mighty. I believe it shrunk. My goodness.
Well, now, after he realized that child was
was coping him. He thought there might be something wrong, you know? So he took off that yellow flannel shirt with purple stripes and kind of looked at his wife, Sarah, and said, you know, it looks like it might fit you. So he gave that yellow flannel shirt with purple stripes to his wife, Sarah.
And she wore it to the ladies' tea club on Wednesday, and all the ladies said,
oh, Sarah, what a fine-looking shirt.
So she wore it to choir practice on Thursday night, and the choir director said to her,
my Sarah, that is a fine shirt.
But she liked that yellow flannel shirt with the purple stripes so much that she wore it to the chicken supper on Friday night. All the men said,
myself, that's a fine looking shirt.
On Saturday morning, Sarah said to herself, Sarah, that shirt needs a washing. So
she soused it and doused it and rinsed it clean and hung it in the sun to dry.
But when she got that yellow flannel shirt with the purple stripes out to wear to church on Sunday, she said to herself, land of mine! What? The shirt sleeves come up to my elbows, and the shirt ends come up to my waist, and that collar's choking me. But the shirt has shrunk again. Oh. Oh. And she looked at her daughter, Janie. Janie, I do believe this shirt might fit you.
Oh.
So she gave that wonderful shrinking shirt to her daughter, Janie, to wear. And Janie wore it to Sunday school on Sunday, and the Sunday school teacher said,
my Janie, that is a fine shirt.
And then on Tuesday, Janie wore it to the square dance. And you know Georgia Green, the little boy with the little freckles on his nose, you know what he said to her? He said,
Janie, that's a fine shirt.
And so Janie wore it to school 3 days in a row, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, until everyone in the classroom said,
Janie, that's a fine shirt. Whoop, that is a fine shirt.
But on Saturday, her mama called out, and she said,
Janie, that shirt needs a washing.
So she soused it, and doused it, and rinsed it clean, and hung it in the sun to dry. And on Sunday, Janie put on that yellow flannel shirt with purple stripes to wear to church.
Mom, whatever did you do to my shirt? The shirt sleeves are coming up to my elbows, and the shirt tails are coming up to my waist, and the collar is a-choking me.
Oh, land mine. I do believe that thing has shrunk again. Let me see that. You know, I do think that would fit baby Wilbur, and it would make the finest christening dress. So, they put that yellow flannel shirt with purple stripes on baby Wilbur. He wore it to church, and the preacher baptized him, and everybody said,
oh, my Sarah, that is a fine Christmas dress.
Well, baby Wilbur was just a little baby. And by the end of the day, he had wet clean through that yellow flannel shirt with purple stripes. So Sarah, his mother, said, that shirt needs a washing. So
she soused it and doused it and rinsed it clean and hung it in the sun to dry.
But when she got it out to put it on baby Wilbur, she said, land of mine, that shirt has shrunk again. I don't think anybody can wear it. I think I'm just going to put it in the right bag.
And baby Wilbur, he didn't say anything because baby Wilbur was just a baby. But boy, he cried. Ooh, did he cry? He missed that yellow flannel shirt with purple stripes. He started crying on Sunday, crying. He cried Monday all the way through Tuesday until finally baby Wilbur's ma let that baby keep that wonderful shrinking shirt.
Imagine.
Okay, where are we on time? Is that it? Four more minutes.
Three, four,
whatever. Three, four, go ahead. Go ahead, three, four, go. Most of our stories are going to be about six, five or six.
We'll just stop there because the other one is
going to be okay. All right, let's go ahead and... We could go ahead and just do Tally Poe. Come on. You want a ghost story? little ghost story.
Okay.
Once there was a man. Now this is really scary, so now don't no one get too scared. And he was living down deep in the woods with his hound dogs all alone in this one-room log cabin.
And that cabin, why, it had holes in the roof.
Yeah, but that was all right, because that's the way he could tell if the sun was shining or it was raining out.
What about all them holes in the wall?
Well, that was all right, because he could tell if anyone was coming down through the woods, you know.
There were holes all over the floor.
Well, that was all right, because he could kind of tell what his hound dogs were doing all day in the house.
Well, one day, the old man went to his cupboard thinking of fixing some supper. His cupboard was bare. There was nothing there. And he said, you know, I think I better get my rifle gun, and I'll get my old hound dogs, and I'm going hunting. And that's what he did. He got everything, and he headed out to the deep woods.
Hunted all day. The only thing he caught was a skinny little rabbit. It started getting dark. The wind started howling, headed for home, knowing that he was going to be a little bit hungry that night.
Well, he cleaned that skinny little rabbit, and he cooked it, and he had it for supper. It didn't fill his tummy up very much. He gave all the scraps to the hound dogs. And then he went over and he sat down in his big old rocker, feeling his tummy.
One eye open and one eye shut. Tummy was half full and started rocking back and forth and started watching the moon coming up.
Yeah, through those holes in the roof.
Yeah, but still in all eyes, he's sitting there rocking. All of a sudden, he spies a critter coming up through one of the holes in the floor, and it was the strangest thing you'd ever seen, you know?
Yes, it had big, round, yellow eyes.
And two long, furry ears.
Right, end of its feet.
A short little body, but it had a long, long furry tail. Well, he spotted it and he thought, now that might make a guy a good morsel for dinner.
He lunged for that critter.
But that critter saw him coming and was too fast and kind of jumped through the hole.
And all he was left with was that long, furry tail. Well, he said, guess we'll have to make good with that. So he cleaned the tail, cooked it, ate it, gave all the scraps to the dog.
In here.
Tummy was pretty full now. So he climbed into bed
and went to sleep for about an hour or so. He was sleeping pretty good, and all of a sudden he woke up and he heard it, and it went scratch, scratch, scratch. It was coming from the
roof.
And then he heard a voice, and the voice said, "You know, and I know, you've got my teddy paw."
Oh, the old man was so frightened that I'll call the dog. "Hey, boys, come on, boys, sickle, sickle." And his dogs took off and chased that critter clean out of sight.
Mm-hmm. And went back to sleep. And after a while, he woke up again. And this time he heard it a little bit louder, and it went scratch, scratch, scratch. And heard a voice. And the scratching was coming from
the walls.
And the voice was saying,
"You know, and I know, I'm coming to get my teddy bone."
Oh, the old man was so frightened. And he said, "Hey, boys, come on, boys, go chase him, boys, go." And those dogs took off and chased that critter
right through the yard.
Right.
Went through the gate, through the fence, all the way down in the swamp. He could hear his dogs barking all the way down there. This time, the dogs didn't come back, and the old man went back into sleep and slept a little bit longer, and he woke up and heard the wind howling, and the voice of the wind sounded as though it was saying,
"You know, and I know, all I want is my teddy bone."
Oh, my goodness, the old man thought, "I've got to get those dogs after him. Hey, dogs, hey, boys, hey, boys." No answer. So he got up out of bed, went out, and torch looked all over, not a dog inside. His dogs had never come back to the next room.
So he was all by himself, so he went in, and this time he closed the door tight.
And locked it.
He took the windows down, he put them down shut.
And latched them.
And he went back into bed, and he woke up just about a few minutes later, it seemed like, when the darkest part of the night, right before dawn.
You know how you wake up sometimes and you think, "There's somebody in here with me."
Yeah, I hate when that happens, right?
Too.
Well, anyway, he woke up, and this time he heard it, and it was going, scratch, scratch, scratch.
time it was coming from inside the cabin. And then he heard a voice, and the voice said, "You look at us.